If you have your Bibles this morning, would you please open them to Romans chapter 6? It's not it's a joy, but it's not every single Sunday that we get to have a baptism and be able to be part of that. So I value these opportunities to use God's Word to teach us, to learn from God's Word, the appropriateness of baptism in the ways of the meaning, the importance, and the timing of water baptism by immersion. So we're going to look at that this morning and be reminded what exactly is going to take place up here behind us in the water. It's strange. We'll get that out of the way already. It's not every day you have a big tank of water in front of a bunch of people and you go under the water and come back up in front of people. That's a little bit different, but nonetheless, we believe it's biblical. Not so much in a tank in a building like this, but water immersion baptism after salvation. The key is salvation. This morning, you'll witness two individuals, Lord willing, publicly identify with Christ through their actions. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and through verse 5. That teaching there is often misinterpreted. That teaching is often taught as this is what baptism is and confuses it all together. But rather, what is in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through at least 5 and into 6, is a description and a teaching of what has taken place in the heart of a now believer. This is what has happened inside someone spiritually. This is not the act of water baptism. So let's read or follow along as I read this morning. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 say, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." Salvation frees us from the bondage of sin. We can no longer, as we were just singing, the frowning face going around saying, "I just can't help it, I do bad things." We have the Spirit of God living with us. We have been saved from the bondage of sin. It doesn't mean that we are sinless. This guy's not sinless, all right? Unfortunately, there is sin that I, from time to time, have to confess to the Lord. "Lord, forgive me. I have failed here." But we are no longer held in bondage by that sin like we were until we have been saved and trusted Christ as our Savior. So this is an indication of what's going on within. I've shared this with you before. So children, if you look up here, you remember we hold our hands like this, right? And if I put my arm up like this, this is an example of Jesus on the cross, all right? So Jesus is on the cross. And then when somebody is standing in the water in a tank up there in a second, they'll be standing upright. And then they picture what took place. What happened to Jesus on the cross? He died. He died for the sins. And he was buried. So we go under the water in the likeness of his death. We also have died to sin. And then he didn't stay there. Praise God. Amen. This morning, he did not stay there. He was resurrected. And in his resurrection, we also were raised in the newness of life. This is the symbol and the picture of baptism after salvation. This is what takes place in the heart at salvation. Jesus died not only as our substitute, but he also died as our representative. When he died, he died. When he died, we died to sin as well. All those in Christ are now viewed by God as having died to sin. So this baptism by water is a testimony of that work that has been accomplished. And since water baptism is so often misinterpreted, so often taught otherwise, we value here at Calvary Baptist Church that our practices and what we do and how we live is grounded in the very Word of God, not any man's ideas, but God's Word on how we carry out His commands, and in this case, baptism. So because of the misrepresentation, because of the false teaching that is around about baptism, it is important that we have a biblical understanding of the meaning of baptism, of the importance of baptism, and also the timing of water baptism as taught in Scripture. Firstly, let's look at the definition of baptism, right? I love to define, I think it's healthy for us to define what we're talking about. The definition of biblical water baptism, by basic definition, it is the believer's obedience that signifies the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord and our identification with Him. I have decided to follow Christ. I have decided to identify with Him through believer's baptism. We can be a Christian without having been baptized by water. Scripture teaches that, because if it was, then it would be works-based salvation. See, the Bible says that salvation is not works-based. It's not any amount of good you do, how many times you go to church, what you wear, what you smell, what you look like, and what you eat. It's nothing like that. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. So if it was the water that saved us, that would be works-based salvation. That would be false truth. It would be false scripture. The truth of Scripture teaches otherwise. It teaches that we are saved by grace. We are Christian. Oh, and by the way, Jesus says to be an obedient Christian, we must take a step in obedience in believer's baptism after salvation. The basic Greek form of the word, understanding the original language of the word baptize, means to immerse. Not to just dip, sprinkle, splash, pour, splatter, squirt gun, you know, whatever, but to immerse. Baptism by immersion differs greatly from the other common modes like sprinkling or pouring. The Greeks had other words for different forms of water or liquid forms. In looking at the word here, defining the term, the Greeks had different words for pouring than they did for immersion. And for sprinkling, there was another word also. You find these words in places like Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13. These words were not used to describe baptism in passages that speak about water baptism. These other words that talk about sprinkling or pouring. Immersion is a word that is being used. The only word that was used was a word in the form of baptizo, which means to baptize as we understand it, which is understanding of being immersed, submerged, completely immersed in water. There's biblical evidence, by the way. This isn't just a simple, I'm telling you. I want you to understand this morning. I would love for you to understand from Scripture if you hadn't ever before, the biblical evidence for immersion. We believe that God has written this entire book from cover to cover. Every word is to be true. And so as we look to that true word, we see in John chapter 3 and verse 23 that much water was used in baptism. To be baptized. The Scripture there says, and John also was baptizing near to Salem, because there was, listen to this, much water there. And they came and were baptized. Elsewhere we see that there was water supporting the immersion in water for water baptism. In Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, several phrases there in those passages speak of them going down into the water, not bringing the water to the individual and splashing, sprinkling, or pouring, but the individual would go down into the water. And these things are significant, because if our Lord says to do something, we need to do that. These are significant. This isn't splitting hairs. This is what Scripture says. The passages there in Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 say, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. You remember just reading this? And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, this is an immersion of being in the water. And John the Baptist also used the Jordan, if you remember from Scripture, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 6, and also in 17. And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And then you see in verse 16 also, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. You see that in Matthew chapter 3. Baptizo is used here in this passage and also in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water. This baptize in these passages, this is baptizo. This is this immersion in water for a public testimony, a symbol of what has already gone, an identification with Christ. Baptism by water immersion is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our Lord. From death to new life, sprinkling or pouring is not taught in Scripture. This is just not taught in Scripture. It is otherwise taught obediently for us to be obedient, to be immersed in water, to fulfill God's command for believers to be baptized. So this is a little bit of a definition of the understanding of the word baptism, but we also understand that there is a great importance on water baptism. We can define terms all day long till we're blue in the face, and we can talk about defining terms and studying what the Scriptures say, but if we don't understand that God places great importance on water baptism, then that takes out the motive and the desire to be obedient. So the importance of water baptism. Baptism is simply put, listen, baptism is Christ's command for the believer. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," listen, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." It is an ordinance reserved exclusively for believers. This is one of the greatest importance of it. This is not just for anybody. Like the eunuch said, I want to be baptized. How do I be baptized? And Philip says, this is the pastor's quote paraphrase of Philip's teaching there in Acts. You must be saved first. This is the prerequisite to baptism. So believers, water baptism is an act of obedience. And baptism is also a demonstration. I continue to mention this, how it's a picture, it's an illustration, it's a demonstration. Baptism is also a demonstration of several things. Firstly, of love for one's Lord. When one has made the decision to trust Christ as a personal Savior and choose to live and follow Him as their Lord in their life, changing, being changed by Him, baptism in obedience is a demonstration of love for that person's Lord. John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's also a demonstration of obedience to the Lord, because Scripture also says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words," John 14, 21. So if Christ has spoken and given this requirement to us, then we are obedient to Him, our Lord, the Creator of the universe, all-sovereign God, and we're in obedience and love to Him as believers to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. By the way, being baptized Himself, Jesus, our Lord, placed great importance on baptism. If you were to look at Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15, you see that Jesus approved of the practice. Jesus approved of this ordinance. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, we see His approval of this as well. Baptism is a believer's public demonstration. It's their public identification. And this is very unique, but very purposeful this way that it is to be public. This isn't a private ordinance. This is not something that one does in their home and in private and away from other believers. This is a public identification. When a believer is baptized publicly before the church, before the congregation of believers, others can see the act of obedience. It is a testimony. And this should not be done in private. This should not be done. This should be done, if any. This is why it's so wonderful. Even our candidates for baptism this morning have invited friends and invited family to come and witness, because they truly believe what they are doing is in obedience to Christ, and they want to tell you what they are doing, right? I hope like it's a head nods and you're like, "What? That's what we're doing this morning?" What? You know. No, this is what they desire, because they love their Lord. Consider as a local church ordinance, baptism outside of the local church loses its meaning. doesn't carry the same meaning. If an ordinance is designed for the local church, for the congregation to witness as much as available and possible, then doing that privately and outside the church removes that meaning and it loses its meaning. How does one publicly identify today? Well, there's lots of ways people publicly identify. Some publicly identify through social media. You know, you want to get to know me? Go look at my Facebook page. You know, follow me on Instagram, listen to me on Twitter, right? We see this even with politicians today. You want to get to know someone, you follow them on social media. Some identify this way. It's not always true. Think of probably one of the easiest examples is, you know, we just recently found out that the Diamondbacks were no longer going to be continue going forward, right? Anybody Diamondbacks fan this morning, here this morning? One, none, two, three. Wow. All right. Cubs fans. I don't know. Anything else? Is Marge here? There'd be a Cubs fan if Marge is here. At least. There she is. Yes. So whatever sports fan you may be, there's paraphernalia that goes along with that, isn't there? Right? We got the ball cap, we got the shirt, you know, with our favorite player on the back and the number and whatever else. We identify with that team. When I walk down the street, you want everybody to see that I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, right? No, just me? Okay. I saw thumbs down. You're a tough crowd this morning, all right? We identify by putting on that jersey so that people can go, oh yeah, they must be a fan. The thing is, when you wear a jersey or a uniform, that does not necessarily say that you are what that is a representation of. So in a way, if you can follow my thinking, I'll try and be clear this morning. If just a person, anybody, oh, like the eunuch, I'm going to go be baptized. They go dip in the water, and he comes back out. Nothing has happened if there wasn't previously salvation and he was not doing that out of obedience to identify with Christ. It would be completely worthless. Just like if I wore a Cubs jersey, it would be worthless to me because I'm not a Cubs fan. May look like it, but I'm not. Anyhow, I don't want to beat up on your sports teams too much more. So remember, in a similar way, water baptism does not make you a Christian. It is, however, an outward expression of an already completed inward work that only God can do. So, if water baptism pictures what has already happened in somebody, if it's a picture of what has already happened, what biblical texts prove that water baptism is not part of or has no part of salvation? And in the very first one, would be this passage that I would love to take you to, and that is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. And in this passage, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus and to the folks there, and he's telling them, because they've been rooted in their historical ways of living under the law and living after Christ. And he says, you may know these ways. You're familiar with these ways, but this is not the way that you are saved. It's not through works. It's not through the things that you have done. It's through what I have done. And this is for the purpose that nobody can boast or brag in their own salvation. So he writes to them and he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace, amen. It's all about grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift from God. It is not merited. It is not earned by you or me. It is simply a gift by God's grace. So demanding anything in addition to faith alone in Jesus Christ for salvation is a work-based salvation. And that is not how our Lord saves people. Jesus' death and bloodshed alone paid for my sins. Jesus' death and his bloodshed alone paid for your sins, the sins of the whole world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, if you have entrusted Christ as your Savior, this is truth for you this morning. Jesus' death for our sins satisfied God's righteous judgment. and we are saved by faith alone. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Nevertheless, baptism is an opportunity, it is an opportunity to take an important step of obedience after salvation. After salvation. That is the timing. But it certainly is not a requirement for salvation. So what is the importance of water baptism? Why is it so important? It is a step in obedience that identifies one with Christ by an outward expression of an inward work. And so lastly this morning, I want to emphasize the timing of water baptism from Scripture, and that is baptism must take place after salvation. This is why it is referred to as, you hear this, believer's baptism. This is why it's important for us to call it this, believer's baptism, because baptism is exclusively for the believer in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, when the Ethiopian eunuch that we read about earlier in the service, the man from Ethiopia, wanted to know if he could be baptized, he was told what? The Spirit of God moved on Philip to tell him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Belief in Jesus Christ was a prerequisite to salvation. Salvation comes first, then baptism. Baptism is also a prerequisite for local church membership. To be part of the local congregation requires salvation, a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, and also baptism as well. As a believer, one must live in obedience to God, and baptism is a step of obedience. One of many steps of obedience, and ought to be one of the first. Identifying with Christ and proclaiming publicly before you all, we will see these candidates as they desire to proclaim that they follow after Christ in obedience with their lives. Believers' water baptism is by immersion, is an opportunity, a very important opportunity, and a step of obedience that every believer should take. Every believer. Baptism is a public demonstration of what has already taken place in the heart of one who has trusted Christ as their Savior. And so our disobedience to this command is sin, whereas our obedience to this command pleases our Lord Jesus Christ. It is every believer's responsibility to immediately obey, to, with understanding, knowing what they are doing, to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. When they believed, remember Scripture says, when they believed, they were baptized. So I ask you two questions this morning. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Savior, number one? And if you have, praise God. But have you followed the Lord and decided to follow Him in believer's baptism? Have you decided to be baptized like these two individuals will demonstrate? Men, I know many of you have. If you're here this morning, you never have trusted Christ as your Savior. Your only means is salvation and eternal life with Him. And the joy of living that He provides today. Trust Him and Him alone as your Savior. See Him absolutely transform your life. And offer forgiveness that only He can offer. And then obediently follow Him in believer's baptism. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, as we close this portion of the service and the time of studying Your Word, we look forward to momentarily being able to have the opportunity to hear testimonies of salvation for baptism this morning. Testimonies of salvation, desiring membership in this church, and we'll respond to that, but then also to see these young people following Christ, taking a bold step in faith, standing before these people and saying, I stand with Christ. I identify with Him because He has saved me and I love Him. Lord, what a tremendous thing this is, and what a delight. I pray that each one of us here, everyone, even visiting this morning, sitting here, would be able to understand the gravity of a marvelous and exciting thing that's taking place this morning in seeing young people in simple faith and trust, following in obedience of what you have for us. We thank you for these things, Lord, this morning, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.